In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday, like last Sunday, we are calling to mind all of the saints. Last Sunday, all of the saints together, and this Sunday, all of the saints of North America. The saints are the fruit of the work of the Son of God come into the world in order to destroy the power of death over us and make it possible for us to have our life lived in Him, not from the world, but from God's own divine life. And that's how it has been since Pentecost. The saints are all of those who responded, all of those who thirsted for the living water that Jesus offered when he stood on the day of an earlier Pentecost and he called out, "All those who thirst, come to me, and your thirst for life will be fulfilled. Your thirst for God will be fulfilled. Your thirst for righteousness and holiness and a life that is a real life will be fulfilled." The saints are those who responded to that call. On the day of Pentecost, when the apostles came forth from that chamber where the tongues of fire had sat upon them, they were filled with this new life that God had come into the world in order to make possible. Those who saw them, many, many responded and became one with them, joined the communion of saints, that new life in Christ we call the church. But there were others who stood aside and listened and were amazed, perhaps even were convinced in their minds, but they did not respond. They did not become members of the communion of saints. They continued to live the lives that they had lived before. And it seems to me that today there would be a disagreement between those people who were convinced in their mind that God had become incarnate, that Jesus the Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that God has acted in order to make it possible to live from within his divine life, so that we might be one with him as the Son is one with the Father. Those who believed all of those things, but did not thirst for the divine life of God himself, did not respond, did not join with the rest of the communion of saints, would we call them Christians? We could say, well, they are convinced Christians. They haven't actually responded. They continue to live the life in the world. They have not died to that life. They are not living a life among the saints. But yet, we would have to call them Christians because they believe. But the Christian faith is not a faith of the mind. The Christian faith is a faith of the heart. If the heart is convinced, the center of who we are, the place from where all of our actions come, the place that shows where our treasure is, what do we believe in, really? Not just with the mind, not just accepting things and not rejecting them, but responding to them and actually living that life that God has made possible. Those are the Christians. Christians and saints, is there any difference? Can there be a Christian who is not among the saints, who does not live his life or her life among the saints? A Christian is a person whose life is shared with the saints who are at one with God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. That is a Christian. We are all called to be Christians in that way. Not called to be Christians in the sense that it becomes my personal belief system, the thing that inspires me to go out and live my life independently, individually, on my own. That's not Christianity. That is me-ism, where I am the ultimate reality. And I use Christianity like any other religion might be used. Not because it is the reality that is beyond me, but because it serves my purpose. It makes me feel whole, even though without God and His saints, without all those others who are at one with God through Christ in the Holy Spirit, we cannot possibly be whole. All oneness is a matter of the holiness of oneness with God. There is no other kind of oneness that we can have with others. We don't live in a world where we can divide up into groups of people who determine reality for themselves. The way things ultimately are is not up for grabs. How things actually are is how they actually are. And it has been revealed to us that we are created in the image and likeness of God for life in Him. And we are called upon to abandon that other life and to enter into the life of the communion of saints. All of us are meant to be saints, to be Christians, to be a Christian parish, is to be a place where the members of that local church are at one with all of the saints of all places and all times. When we commemorate the saints of America, we are remembering and bringing to mind those who have made it so clear as a witness by their lives that this life that we share with God through His Son in the Holy Spirit has borne undeniable fruit here in North America. And we know many of the names of those saints by heart. St. Innocent, St. Herman of Alaska, St. Peter the Aleut. But also, there are not just those saints from a century or two ago. There are more recent saints. Saints who were alive so recently that we can meet people who knew them. St. Alexis of Wilkes-Barre, who brought so many wanderers from Eastern Europe when they came to this country into the Orthodox Church. St. John of San Francisco, probably the best known. Also, there is a man who I had no idea that many consider one of our saints, even though he was born in Bulgaria, St. Nicholas, often called St. Nicholas of Ohrid, the one who wrote the prologue of Ohrid, a huge work of the lives of saints. Others call him St. Nicholas of Libertyville. Libertyville, how American can you get? He died there. He died there just outside of Chicago. He was a bishop in America, a holy and learned man who I've read for years and had no idea that he lived so recently. When you read his work, when you listen to his sermons, you think this is a man of some golden age of the church. But he died in 1956 in Libertyville. The saints live amongst us. They are not of the remote past. The life that we are called to live is a life that we share in the midst of the saints. St. Paul, as we heard again today, just as we did, same reading last week, mentions all of the righteous of ancient times throughout the Old Testament. And he says they did not receive the promise, even though they were so saintly that the world was not worthy of them. Yet they did not receive the promise that something better might be, that we might be crowned along with them, that they not have advantage of having been born first. And we could think here not just of the holy ones of the Old Testament, St. Paul mentions, but also all of the fathers whose names we know, St. Basil the Great, St. John Chrysostom, and all of the rest. They lived before us. But Chrysostom himself said, thinking about this passage from St. Paul, God took such care for each one of us that He crowns us all together. It's not a matter of great, holy, distant saints different from us who lived long ago in faraway places that we venerate because they are the great heroes and we are the ordinary, normal ones. who are not like them. That's not how it is. Our holiness is our life. This is how we are meant to live, all of us. There is no other life that we can live other than the life of our own holiness shared along with them. Not a holiness unique to ourselves, as their holiness is not unique to any one of them. We live our lives amongst others. We can't be who we are created to be without others. St. Paul says that our lives are lives of constant spiritual struggle. And we test one another. And oftentimes we resent the way we are tested by others. But Nicholas of Ockrid says that those who make themselves enemies to us, those who oppose our purpose, do more for us spiritually than anyone else. Because the response that we make when we are tested, when we choose to respond by rejecting selfishness, when we pass the test, hit the mark, not because of our own ability, but because we turn toward God, we turn toward Christ, and we respond with His holiness. When we do that, that is how we go about being holy. Not with something that comes from ourselves, but responding to the tests of others in such a way that spiritually we become the real persons that God created us to be, by acting in harmony with Him, in harmony with all of the saints. This is what we do in our common life together. There is no oneness without holiness. It's true at every level of our lives. In our marriages, there is no oneness between us without holiness. We can't dominate one another into oneness. Holiness has to be there. In our parish life, there is no oneness without holiness. It is the holiness of God. It is the holiness of Christ Himself. It is the holiness of the saints. And it is that same holiness that we share in with one another. And by sharing in the oneness of that divine holiness, each one of us is able to be the person that God created us to be. We don't become holy as an accomplishment of ourselves. We become holy as God's accomplishment and our becoming a witness to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.